Well, this morning we're going to start into a thing, but I'm assuming it's going to be a series of teachings. Last week we had the Lord gave me a message dealing with Jehoshaphat, a familiar story most of us have probably heard before, but we looked at it from a scriptural standpoint. And one of the things is when I started to go into about that, the Lord had spoken to me about teaching on the area concerning the supernatural and the miraculous, dealing with those areas. Because there we have like these instances. When we sit and read in the Bible, we look at these different things that took place that are just completely outside the ordinary course of nature, things going on and things happening. We see them through the scriptures. And we need to be careful they just don't become stories to us that we read. It's so easy to do. We have, as a whole in the American church, we have lost the expectation for miracles and for things. We've lost that, and it is one of the reasons it gets lost is the Lord dealt with me, and I've known this from before in the past. The church has a tendency, if you follow Christianity, it's all through history. It isn't some kind of weird things that happens to us today. But what happens is God comes along and emphasizes certain things, and Christians have the tendency to take that one thing, and then after a while that becomes the thing. And they're trying to, it's on the areas, God has been moving over the last number of years here, a lot in the areas, they're moving over in the areas of prayer. And a lot of the church world has got so focused on that area of praying, they think they're going to do everything but prayer. Well, you're not. One of the things that I've learned, I've learned about praying, and there's things you can do, but there's things you can pray till they nail you in the box, and it ain't going to change a thing. There's things that other things you have to do. It's sort of like we have in our society is if you watch commercials like on TV, like commercials, and especially you get things of dietary supplements and that stuff, and if you take our vitamin C, it's going to change your whole life. You're going to, everything that would ever be wrong in your life is going to be corrected. If you buy this, every known disease, the man will disappear and everything. And although this person, they have this other thing, and they do that. And that has been the tendency of the church, is we're going to do one thing that's going to make everything change. And it's not like that. And I found this out, what Kenneth Hagin had told the story. He had went to a church where a minister spoke to him and said to him, "We've been praying for the last 2 years," he said, "for the moves of the Spirit of God in our church. We have been praying." And he said, "If it's done any good," he said, "we don't know it." And so Brother Hagin said, "Have you been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit in operation?" And the guy said, "No." He said, "Well, you can pray all you want," but he said, "your people have no faith for it." See, faith comes by hearing. You don't come by prayer. You can pray night and day and die of a sickness or disease because you have no faith to believe God. It don't come by praying. Praying's good. The one thing is praying, and I found praying in tongues, it said it'll build you up in your most holy faith, but it said it'll pray on your most holy faith. What faith do you got? See, if you ain't got no faith, you can pray in tongues all you want. It ain't gonna build nothing. See, there's things that go together that cause things to happen. It's one of the things that we need to get over to, and the Lord said we need to get over talking the areas about miracles, about things to get people's expectations up for it. We have to want it and desire it. No matter what God wants to do, He needs people within the earth to hook up to His desire. You're going to have to want it. Let me just say, we're going to be talking, today we're going to do a lot of introductions of telling maybe some stories and things about miraculous different things that have happened. Because to encourage you, you need to desire them and want them. You need to, we may have to a point, I've even taken myself. I mean, there's a point that you have that you'd like to have certain things, but I realize my desire is not enough. I gotta have more desire about this. It has to be more of a longing than what I got. We have problems in these areas because of building this desire, getting ourselves over to where we want something desperately. Back in the early 1900s, in the beginning of what they call the 20th century, there was a a move of God started concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and speaking under the tongues. And what happened, there was groups began to seek God about that. They wanted to find out. They didn't know if that was for today or not, because they were told it wasn't. Oh, that all ended back there in the Bible there somewhere, and that all died. And there's churches today. I mean, they're still the same thing that most churches in America, they don't believe, they'll say God can heal, but they don't believe he will. You wouldn't know if he'd do anything or not. You don't know what God would do. You know, he's mysterious. Well, if you can't have faith in a mystery. You know that? If he's mysterious, you have to know. Faith is based on knowledge. And what you don't have knowledge in, you can't have no faith in. You need knowledge. You need to know. See, that's why we got the book. The book tells us things that God will do so you can believe him to do that because he said he would. If he hasn't said he would do it, where's your place of faith to believe that he would do that? How would you know? See, God can't be a mystery. God reveals his mysteries, the New Testament tells us. He reveals them to us. The mystery is why people call themselves Christians and don't believe God reveals himself. That's a mystery. I can't figure out. It's beyond me. Now, we're going to be talking about, to look at these things as manifestations of God. But anyhow, those groups began to seek God and they started going after God. They began to pray and say, God, they wanted the answer. Is this for us today? Are we supposed to have this? Well, what happened? See, they got a desire to find out, and these people pushed. I mean, they pushed. They got desperate about this thing. We want to know. See, they got a hunger for it. It is totally unnatural for a human being in this world not to want the supernatural. That has to be educated out of you. You have to go to school and you have to be taught by people. You get children, children are gravitated right toward, they say, well, it's fantasy. No, children will gravitate. It takes unbelieving parents to rob that out of them. It's the desire. It is desire for the supernatural. Kids want it. That's the, why would God have kids born into the earth and they would be gravitated toward that? Why would it be? They were gravitated. They want something. They want something besides what you can just see and touch it, you know, the natural. You know, there's things we need fixed in this nation and around the world, and there's no natural solutions. And if you can only believe within the natural area, you're of no benefit to this world. Everything stays the same. If you can't think outside, if you can't believe outside of what's going on in our nation, you're part of the problem. You're not a solution to anything. There must be something. We need to be able to touch into something that's bigger than us, or you have no hope. That's why there's so many hopeless people. Churches are filled with hopeless people today. They're filled with it. You've got to be able to see outside. See, from the time I was a little kid, I was always drawn to the supernatural. And then and you know what? One of the most awful things, see, I was a kid, we would sit in Sunday school class and they would teach us the supernatural stories. And then the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life was they took me to the adult church where they talk you out of the supernatural. Yes. They take you to the adult church and they just tell you, God's dead. Oh, yeah. He was raised from the dead, but he's sleeping now. He ain't doing nothing. You never know what he's going to do. You just don't know. And I went over there and all these things, the miracle. You know, the New Testament stopped. You know, when the last apostle died, the name of Jesus died with him. It don't work anymore. And that's where that, you know. These are all wonderful things we have looked at. But right now, you know, we don't have that. We're just hanging on here waiting till one day Jesus is going to come and get us. And I said, what for? What would he want with them? What do you do with a crowd like that? See, man, I got to spend eternity with them. Oh, my God. I don't want to go to heaven. Jesus say, oh, he's here. We want to be glad to see us, don't we? there's that within us. See, from the time I was a child, there was a spark in me concerning those things. See, I was always drawn to things like science fiction and stuff because it had an imagination into something that was outside the earth. And the church just wants to rob you out of it. Oh, yeah, that stuff is crazy. What do you have to offer that's better? See, that's what I like from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, you're going to steal things from people. You better have something to give them. And the church has stolen and gave nothing back. All they offer you is you get born again, but you know, your life ain't going to be better than anybody else's. It's not going to be different. You're just going to sort of get, God is good, but you know, we never know what he's doing. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes this. You get all those people's answers for things. But what the bottom line is we rob out of the scriptures, we rob God's ability. Now, number one, God, you know, it's one thing if we were all just sitting here and ignorant and don't know. Now, let's just put it this way. I've been on a mission field. I've been to places in the world where I ministered where, sometimes you run into places where you go and they've heard the gospel and you go and you minister. But I've been at places where there wasn't much gospel preached. And you'd go to them and I mean, God just be supernatural. It's crazy. Now, a lot of people don't understand why that happens, but I'm just going to tell you exactly why it happens. It's like right now in America, we don't see a lot of the supernatural, and I can tell you exactly why. Because the people who have been taught about the supernatural are not believing in it. They've already been taught. We're supposed to operate on a higher level than the guy who never heard. See, I would go, any place I would go, I remember going to Fiji, and I was thinking about this morning, we're up here worshiping, and God was just bringing to my remembrance things about where I've ministered before and doing. I was over in Fiji ministering, and we went to the second largest island. In fact, there was a church there that we bought the metal roof for their building and that stuff. They put up the walls themselves, but we paid for their roof and things to the building. So we went to visit that church, and we went there, and that church was it was a new church. They were just sort of new. The pastor was pretty new into the gospel and stuff. And it was just it was a new work going. And you know, when it was funny because, you know, I went and got up to minister. And I had this message I was going to preach, but God had another idea. But when I got up, the anointing came on me, and I never did minister. I just started operating in gifts of the Spirit and just. For about 2 hours, the Spirit of God was on me, and just thing after thing, just like that happened in the place. I mean, it just doing, and I knew why it was taking place. God was demonstrating the reality of Him. You see, if you don't ever see God move, you don't know if He's faithful. You got to have more than words in a book. You know, God can tell me in this book a million times that He's faithful. Prove it. We demand no proof from God. We don't. Because we've been trained not to. Oh, don't question God. Don't do it. Oh, no. The lightning bolt comes out. You're going to get it. You don't do these things. See, the words in this book are worthless without performance. What if somebody believed to be saved and didn't get saved? Would you put up with that? You see, we have to have more. There is a requirement. God must prove His faithfulness. See, when I first started off, and you guys have heard me talk about this, when I first started off as a Christian, you know, I started off and I was really hungry for the Word, and I'd read the Word, and when I look back on it, I see some of my just childish stuff. But the childish stuff that I would do, God would manifest. Oh, my words. Well, it wasn't on the basis of my great faith. But, you know, just the fact that I responded to Him on what I knew, He would reveal Himself to show that He was faithful in His Word. And what happened? It led me to faith. It led me to trust Him more. It led me. See, a lot of people, you'll never have great faith if you don't have any performance of God's Word in your life. I don't think about God being real. I know He is. I don't know God just by the Bible. I've experienced Him. Amen. See, you want to have experience, and God wants you to have experiences. See, we have this, well, the minister gets them. Oh, hold it. Is that what, then the ministers are going to have the faith and the people just hold down chairs and good luck? Is that what we're going to have? It can't be like that. Who'd want to stay with it? You know, I don't blame people for not going to church. I wouldn't go either. Dear Lord, if God ain't any better than they told me, dear Lord, stay at home. It's a lot easier. Why wear yourself out? There's got to be something. You got to have a desire for more. Is this thing true? Are you willing to go after God to find out if it's true? See, that's what you got to come to. You got to come to the place where you have to draw a demand on God for Him to prove Himself. You're not asking Him to do something He don't want to do. God is a God of miracles. That's what He wants to do. That's what He is. When we don't demand, really, we're putting Him to shame. We need to demand. We want something more. We have to have something more. You see, I know as a young Christian that people used to, you know, I started going to a church and they thought I was a little bit out there because I was sort of like this. If God don't do certain things to me, He don't ask me to do anything for you. You don't do nothing for me, I don't do nothing for you. You see, I never learned God that He was a God that just pushed people around and tell people, you do this, you do this, this is what I demand of you, and I can just, you know, go over here and sit down and do what I want. Well, if He does, do it by yourself. I ain't doing it with you. That don't make any sense. Just think about it. If you go to work, you work for a company, and you go there, and they expect you to take care of their stuff with your money and your stuff and thing, while they said, you do this and you do that, they don't participate. Well, you don't want to work there very long. They decide 1 week they just don't want to pay you. We're not going to pay you this week. The average Christian thinks God's like that. God can do anything He wants. No, He can't. God must operate in line with His Word. He can't say He's good and then act like He's not. He's a liar if He does. If I'm a liar for doing that, it is no different with Him. See, this is where faith, I know God can't lie. God is good to His Word. He's not going to lie. That's the foundation of faith. There is no faith when you can't have faith in a God you question. You've got to come to the place. He wants you to experience Him. God is a God. The Bible is full of the manifestation of God. God went so far of manifestation that God came in the flesh. What else? I mean, how far He would go to prove people He's real? How far would God go? What would He keep back from us? What would He hold back? I just can't imagine anything. I can't imagine anything He would hold back from me. I can't imagine. It's beyond my imagination. Because all that man ever needed or wanted or desired, any man in the Bible who sought God. Do you see Jesus? Jesus comes. Jesus is the manifestation of God. God comes into the earth. He walks around here. Show me one person that went to Him and He said, I'm sorry, we're not healing today. It's not God's will. I'm sorry, you know, no, it's not God's will to heal you. He made you sick for a reason. It's not there in the book, but it's the church is full of it. The church is filled with the unbelief. And folks, you don't realize how much it's affected you. Man, I grew up in that junk. It takes work to get these things out of you. They have made God not miraculous. They have made it's just something He does sometime. It's not His nature. That's His nature. That's what He is. That's what He is. If you don't know Him any other way, God is not a man. See, we got to get out of our thinking. God wants to change Him. Because why? God's desire to manifest Himself. We talk about revival. We want to have revival, but revival is about getting God to manifest Himself. I was over in India ministering, and you guys heard me tell the story, you know. I'm over there ministering. I've never operated under the evangelistic ministry and never at all. And the Lord told me, they came and asked me to do evangelistic meetings while I was there. I was doing teaching and teaching ministers and stuff. And they said, would you do the evangelistic meetings at night? And I said, no. I said, I'm not an evangelist. Why don't you get an evangelist? Get somebody, you know, has that anointing. You're gonna... And they said, well, we want you to do it. And I said, I'll pray and ask God. And really, I'll be honest with you. I was mostly lying about that. I didn't really want to do much praying or asking God about none of it. Because I said, I don't. Hey, well, you know, I didn't want to try. I don't want to push over an office that's not mine. Try to be something. They're wanting an evangelist. Hey, you're going to have the teacher. You're going to have a guy who's going to teach, under a prophetic anointing. And if you try to get it over the other way, it might be a pathetic anointing. But I went back to the hotel. I did keep my word, and I prayed, and God said, do the meetings. And I prayed again, because I thought I didn't hear from God on that one for sure. That one, so we better pray some more. Maybe I ought to fast. but see, God's miraculous. I'll never forget that night. I was sitting there thinking the whole time. I was up on this platform, and these other ministers there, they're going to call me to come up. And I thought, and you're looking out there, and you're looking, there's thousands and thousands of people out there, and I'm thinking, they're waiting for an evangelist, and they got Ed Gibson, and, this is what they're going to have. And I walked up there, and this anointing dropped on me I never had before in my life. And I knew what it was when it came on. I could not believe that people would come to Christ. I just knew. When I started to open my mouth, people were going to start getting drawn to Jesus. There was nothing natural about that. See, there's nothing natural. You know, in America, Americans, the average American, the teacher and minister in a church is just another guy talking. It's good preaching, folks. But see, this is supernatural. I walked up there, and that anointing came on me, and I thought, wow, now I know what these events, why they get like they do. I know why they get, oh my God. And I mean, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful anointing. It's a wonderful anointing. And that thing came off, and it just drawed people to Jesus. And I did that 5 nights in a row. And as soon as I was done and go back, it would lift off of me, and I was back to me again. And then the next night, they'd call me, and I'd walk up, and that anointing would come on me. And it had never been on me since. But one of the things of it is, that was a blessing. God is blessing people. See, God wants to do something supernatural. We're trying to reach people through the natural today. We're trying to do all kind of things through the engineering of men. We're just sold out that our computers and our phones and our, whether it's TV or whatever it is, these are the things that God's really using. Now, God's still using people, and we just have too many people that are on the internet, that are on TVs and radios and everything else that have no anointing. And people don't even know the difference. They don't even know the difference anymore. Shame on us. When people don't know the difference. We don't know the difference of what God is speaking. See, you get over in this thing. I can understand why we had so many prophets saying so much stuff concerning the election. It was all wrong. Why? Loads of these guys have, whether people like it, have lost their anointings. And now it's men talking. We need God back. We need God back. Amen. Every one of us. We need God. Why? Because everybody here, every one of us here need supernatural and the miracle working power of God in our life. Everybody. There's things that we should have in our life that we want to, that are outside the natural. There's things that I know, naturally, it ain't ever getting fixed. It ain't ever getting fixed. I know. This is what I've learned about me. There's a lot in me ain't gonna get fixed if God don't do something. I must go after Him so He can work in me. Something needs done in me that I can't do, and there's not another person can do it unless they have an anointing from God to do it. It can't be done. See, we're trying to change. We're trying to become godly without God. You know, I taught for 5 years in a Bible school, and I taught gifts of the Spirit in a Bible school for 5 years. And one of the things that, and this is the average minister today, a Spirit-filled minister, the average one will teach you this. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize it, but they just teach it. They tell you that, you come to this great place of spirituality so God can use you. And then He'll manifest Himself through you. Well, I've come to this by studying the Bible. If I can arise to the place where I can do really good without God, what do I need Him for after that? If God doesn't manifest and do supernatural through me, yeah, I have to come to some epitome. Well, what's the point then? Jesus said if we seek Him, we'll find Him. If we knock, it'll be open to us. We're going to have to become seekers of stuff. Not just about praying. Going after God. We need to lose all of our religiousness about going to say, God, what is... Like to me, I just talk to God, what is going on? Lord, look at me. Lord, can I really see what our nation needs? Do I really know? God, you need to enlighten this boy. Lord, I'm looking around at people. I hear them saying answers to things, but I said, Lord, they're not ringing any bells in me. There's things we don't know. We need to know. There's things you want to do. Are we hampering it? Or do we have the brakes on this thing so you can't? See, people are, if you're an idiot, God knows. You can sit and play all the stupid little games you want praying and acting like you have some kind of spirituality. He knows if you are or not. So I gave that up a long time ago. I figured out He knows. He knows Ed. He knows me in my good spots and my bad spots. He knows me where I'm wise and where I'm stupid. He knows. And you know what? Don't seem to bother Him at all. Only bothers religious people. That's the only ones that get bothered by it. They get nervous. If we're nervous about the things of God, you got to get religion out of you. God ain't nervous. Hallelujah. He has a plan. The good work, and this is a scripture I've just quoted from myself over and over the years, the good work He started in me, He's bringing it to completion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He might not have time for you because He's pretty busy with me trying to fix it. Takes a lot working on me. So, but you've got to go there. He said what He would do. See, I haven't arrived, and you haven't either. Get that. Too many people today think they've arrived somewhere. We haven't arrived. I'm in as much need to God today as in January of 1980 when I got on my knees beside the sofa in my living room and accepted Jesus Christ. In fact, I know my need greater today than I did then. Most Christians think they somehow got somewhere when that happened. They think they have less of a need, and they don't realize the desperation they should have. Man, God. See, I believe our nation's in the mess today because the church doesn't know the need. Amen. The church doesn't see their own need. I'm not saying to be critical, but there must be an awakening. Amen. You know, He's had to knock me in the head a few times. Wake up, Ed. Wake up. And speak to us. But see, the supernatural, getting over there for the place because people need it, but you need it also. You need manifestations of God. You need demonstrations of the Spirit. Answered prayer that comes through demonstration of the Spirit. You need that. Your faith is not going to grow just because you sit and read the Word. Is your joy made full without answer to prayer? Jesus said it wasn't. Jesus said your prayer's answer was going to be give you fullness of joy. Well, prayers answered most of the time are supernatural things that take place that cause things to happen. You see, so we need that expectation of that. You need to have joy. Your faith. You know, when I started to find out, I started as a Christian, I would go to God and go after God and stand, and then it would take place. It was like, boy, the next time we're taking a bigger chunk out of this thing. You know, why? Because, hey, this thing works. I'll never forget when my wife and I, we heard about God blessing financially, and we started off and we weren't in, at the bottom of the barrel was sitting on us. And, I'll never forget our first time that we ever believed for any money from God, we believed $20. You might as well ask me to believe for $1 million. That's what it would have been. $20. But I'll never forget. My wife and I just started off Christianity. We need $20. And I'll never forget. We got together, her and I, and we agreed for that $20. And Wanda, she had kids with her. She went downtown for something, but she was on 8th Street, down to the hardware down there on 8th Street. It closed down there. She's walking down through there. Wanda's walking down the street. Nobody, it's a Saturday. Nobody's around. Nobody's anywhere. She's walking with the kids, the two girls, walking down the street, and the wind blows, and it blows up through and blows a $20 bill right up to her feet. Well, that wasn't natural. And she came, you know, you'd have thought we won the lottery. But see, with that day, God answered prayer. Man, when I found that out, hey, we just threw the barrel off of ourselves. We're getting money. We need it. We're getting money. You see, God took us to another level of faith. God took us to another level of faith. See, there had to be a manifestation. If there's no manifestation, what's going to be? If you didn't get the 20, are you going to next time try out for the 100? No, you're not. See, this is what people, we go through the religious motions of things. It's not good. God, I've come to the conclusion, if it ain't working, it's not God, it's Ed. I got to find out, what am I doing? Where am I? Is there something I don't know? Hey, you can legitimately not know certain things, or, you know, you just need more information. Nothing wrong with that. Or sometimes I've found this, there's certain things I know, but I wasn't walking in. So, you know, now you can sit and weep and cry and say, oh, boo-hoo, me, old poor, I just can't make it. No, I don't do that. I stop and say, well, we just get this straightened out, get out right where we need to be, and we're going to get this thing working. This is what we do. And God is eager to manifest himself. We have all through the Bible, we have people. You know, Israel was a nation that acted in such ways they should have been forsaken. But did God forsake them? My God, he never quit going after them. I don't know if God giving, I quit on God a few times. You know, I do it up to 15 minutes at a time. I get upset and quit. And then say, no, now I got to repent. I can't do that. I quit the ministry numbers of times. That's happened quite often. And that's just, you know, if I'd say it to Wanda, she'll just laugh. that probably lasts 5 minutes. It's like, I can't do that. I can't get into a backslidden condition. I can't have that. So I say, I don't need the devil anymore in my life. I don't need to open the door for any more of that. Oh, the devil loves retired preachers. He loves them. I wonder how you get, you know, people say, you're going to retire. I say, excuse me, could you tell me how you turn the gift off? I'd like to know. Maybe you could explain to me how that one works. But don't laugh at me. People retire from their jobs and retire from God when they do it too. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They're so busy working and they don't have time for God, and they retire and they're still so busy they don't have time for God. Ooh, this is good preaching. I'll run over here. I'll get back here. I can duck it. Oh my. Hallelujah. See, you get meddling, you know, sometimes you're. But you know, I found this out. It's number one. I love the anointing. I'll never forget, as a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, once you get the anointing, he said, it's like a drug. You always want it again. Oh, I don't know if you know what it's like, but I'll tell you what. Find out what it's like. Get the anointing on you. You get a good dose of the anointing on you, and you know what? You're going to want it again. You're going to want it again. Because, God, you got to have it again. You got to have that anointing. You just have to have it. You just, wow. See, I found this, like the scripture said concerning Saul, when the anointing came on, he became a different man. So it does. It makes you something you're not. That's always good. Aren't you tired of you? I am. I'm tired of you. See, that's what it is. You get the anointing, and it takes you to a place that you're not. The anointing comes on me, and I see things clear, and the things I understand. I can never from the natural. I don't. You know, I walk around all week making, doing dumb things. And then the anointing comes, and you think, wow, boy, is he ever smart. It was the anointing. It was just like everybody else all week. But the anointing comes. And we have to grab and get a desire and have this longing for something greater. We need to look out at this world. And we need to see the desperate need of people out here, the lost. They ain't coming with what the church got now. There must be something. Now, that doesn't mean nobody out here got it. There are people who got it. But as long here in America, there isn't much that got it. They don't even see their need for it. They think because they have a church with 30,000 dead people that they got something great going. But there are 30,000 less time people. They're just happy the way their lives are. We've learned how to do that. We've learned how to live in sin and feel good. See, we can't do that. We must desire something greater. And we need to know and understand the supernatural. See, it's one of the things that I have studied, you know, with revivals on different ministries and different things over the years, over the centuries of people in revival and things and how God moved. And there are things that people call revival that have not been revival. That they're moves of men that people do. There's been moves of God that have been destroyed by men because people get their handle on it and get their hand into it and stop the move. I mean, that's one thing in South Africa with John G. Lake. John G. Lake went there, God blew up. I mean, probably most miraculous ministries, especially for as long as it ran, that just supernatural. God, healings, miracles, incredible. And he said as soon as United States and Europe started sending their theologians over, he said they organized God right out of the thing and it ended the revival. See, there's always people, I've learned this over the years, I've watched it where God begins to move. If you get a place, like here, I watched this in the United States, you get a place and revival start to break out. All of a sudden you'll have all these different ministers from different places, they want to start coming to those meetings. You'd think, oh, they want to come there to get something. No, they want to get their hand in that ministry. See, they think, well, if I go out there and touch that a little bit, then, you know, I can become a part of this. Well, you didn't start it anyhow, and you had nothing to do with it. The only thing you're going to do is damage it. You know, sit down and listen to what he's saying and shut up. Amen. No, but they come like they have to have a part of it, and after a while, they'll kill that thing. You see, I don't know if you remember some years ago, Lakeland, Florida, the move of the Spirit there. See, the move of the Spirit started through a guy down there. You know what happened? Everybody's brother ran down there. All these ministers got out there. And when these other ministers got their hands into it, they killed it. They destroyed that thing. Now, I was down there when it first started. When it first started off, I went down. The Lord told me to go. And I've told you guys this story, but it's worth repeating because we're talking about the supernatural power of God. I left on a Sunday afternoon after church. We had ministered at church. I drove. The Lord told me, I want you to leave after church and drive down to Lakeland, Florida. He said, I want you to drive there. I don't want you to be down there in time for the service at night. I said, well, I mean, I'm going to drive all night. Well, you have a choice. You either say, well, God, I can't do that. I just don't like driving at night. And that's just not me. Well, go ahead. Then you're going to miss what God's going to do. Shall I tell you what? There was a little baby's life was saved because it did this. I drove down there, drove all night. Prayed in tongues. I probably prayed in tongues about 12 hours. I just prayed. When I got down there, you know what I had? Dry mouth and thick tongue. But I just prayed in tongues. I thought, God has me here for a purpose. There's a purpose in me being here. I don't know what it is all about, but I want to be ready for the purpose. I want to be ready for it. So I thought, well, the best thing I can do, I'm driving through the night. I'll pray in tongues and I'm just going to, you know, down, and I just prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. I had some teaching things that I was listening at car and I was driving. I got down there in late afternoon. I'd gotten down to Lakeland and I went, there was a hotel. I didn't have a hotel and I got there. I was near the convention center where they were meeting at that time. And I went to the hotel and got a room and I went up and I thought, now I hadn't slept since 5:30 the day before, 5:30 in the morning when I got up. When I get up for church, this morning God got me up at 4:30. He had things he wanted to do. So anyhow, I was down there and I'm thinking, I need sleep. This is what I need. I need sleep. So I lay down on across the bed and my phone rings. And here's my daughter. She's in Nebraska. And she calls me and she says, Dad, she said, a woman I work with, she said, she's on her way to work this morning and she was dropping her kids off at a daycare. And she said, in a truck broadsided her or something, and she said she was killed, the one boy, he was okay, but they had a baby, and the baby, she said, is in very serious condition. It's critical. They don't know if it's going to live. She said, Dad, would you pray? I said, sure. I said, I'll pray. So she's at work. She hung up. So this is one thing, is see, learning to listen to God. See, we have our own ideas. Like to me, well, man, you got to just pray about this thing right away. This kid's in critical condition. You just got to do this. And I start to pray in the Spirit of the Lord. See, I'm glad I prayed in tongues going out because I'm hearing on the inside. And the Spirit of the Lord says to me, don't pray now. Wait till you get at the meeting. You'll know to pray then. Now, my mind goes, this baby's in critical condition. See, that's what your mind goes to. Your mind's over there thinking, but I know I heard from God. So I thought, I'm going to let this thing, I'll let it alone. But, you know, it's running in the back of my mind because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, you know. You don't want to miss it. But see, you're dealing with what's going on the inside or what's on your head. What's driving you? One of the two is going to drive you. Well, sometimes it seems like both of them are in the seat driving. Have you ever been there? But anyhow, so I go to the meeting, and I'll just never forget. I went inside, and I found a place to see it up on the side. They had like people sitting on the floor, and I just went up more toward where the auditorium, up toward the front, and they had seats on like on the side. And so I sat down there where you could sort of see pretty good. And I sat down there, and just something kept going in my spirit, and something I've never had before. Now, I've had a number of times in my Christian walk where the gift of faith dropped on me to minister. I've had a number of times that's happened. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I realized the gift of faith is in the building. It's in manifestation in the building. I want to say something to you about this. Something you need to learn. You need to learn to be sensitive of what's going on around you. That gift, anybody could have tapped into if they had paid attention of a need. Now, the gift of faith is just this. You're able to believe something that normally you would not be able to believe because you don't, you know, you just can't override faith. I've had this happen. I've had a drop on me and, you know, you would just like, if some people say, well, do you have the gift of faith? No, I don't. If I did, I'd turn it on all the time. I mean, you don't have it. It operates as the Spirit wills. And you'd like to have it turned on. And I think sometimes we could get it turned on more. It would for us if we would learn to cooperate better. You know, and that's everybody, all of us. Even though I've had it operate, I think there's some things I could do to cooperate better. But I was sitting there and all of a sudden I recognized that. And all of a sudden I knew. Now you ask God what you want concerning that child. And so I just told the Lord what I expected to happen with that child. I said the words. See, now you could say a prayer if you want with it, but I didn't say a prayer. It's just like faith. You can speak faith if you say, in this mountain be thou removed. And I just spoke to that child. I just spoke to it. So I left. I knew in my spirit that thing's taken care of, that child. I just knew it. I just knew that thing was done. Well, the next morning, early in the morning, I get a call from my daughter. And my daughter said, she says, the baby's completely fine, Dad. She said, they can't find anything wrong with it. She said, the father was able to go in and said, holding it, feeding it, and stuff and things. She said, it's completely fine. Well, I didn't do that. See, been wondering. But God uses us in the earth to do things. And He does things miraculously. He wants, that's His desire. His desire. There needed something. The doctors did what they could. But there was something beyond needed. Thank God for what they can do. But there was something of need more. You know, God didn't just pick that child out special. I believe it's because there was people probably hooked up and prayed. And I thank God He used me from the standpoint of the gift of faith to speak concerning that. But I believe it's probably keyed up with the people who wanted, they expected something to happen. They wanted something to happen. People are pushing for something to happen. And many times people are not pushing for things. It is not enough to want or have a just amount of desire for something. You got to want it. It's got to be something for you. know, the things you desire when you pray. Lots of times the word desire is translated in the New Testament as just the word desire. But that word actually means to crave or to just long for something. It's something you got to have. Lots of times people don't get healed. They don't get different because they don't really, they're not really into it. They'll take it if they can get it. But it's not a long thing. Man, I got to have this. I'm not going to let this alone. I'm not going to stop this till I get what I want. I'm not going to let this alone. God wants to do this. Jesus said, I came that you might have an abundant life. See, we need to decide, hold it. You know, is what's going on, is this abundant? Is this where it should, see, and get it in your mind. Hey, hold it. You know, Jesus died so we could be delivered. And not just, well, you can get to live a lousy life and get to heaven one day. You know, is that what it is? If that's what it is, suicide be the great way out. Because are we just trying to hang on here in this? What is God doing? Are these words true? See, getting over into the miraculous. And see, there's reasons that why they happen. Okay, I'll do that. The Lord wants me to tell another story. So the first time I ever had the gift of faith operate through me, I have a lot of good notes here, folks. We could have done those, okay? I said to Wanda, I said, Wanda, God's given me a message, but I have no clue where this thing's going to go. I don't know. I tried to study it. The more I tried to study, the worse I became. And I finally said, I got to stop. I have my mind burnt trying to figure this out. But anyhow, first time ever it happened, I was sitting outside. Hey, this is 321 Canal Street. So. It's a little funny we have there with us. Anyhow. And I'm sitting outside the evening in the yard. And I'm sitting on a lawn chair. I'm sitting there. I have the Bible. I don't know if you're just reading the Bible. When you have spiritual experiences, it's like to me, it's just like yesterday. I can remember that just as if it just happened. I'm serious. It's just like it. I can see. I know exactly. I was sitting there. I mean, to me, I just know it just like perfectly what took place. And so it was two little girls drove by in the bikes passed down our alley. When they hit our place, I had put out back there was a little white picket fence. It used to be back. Those days are gone. But it used to be back there with a gate and stuff coming out there. These arborvitaes were planted across the back. And then the neighbor had some bushes across the back there, but you couldn't see, you know, once you got down to our place, you couldn't see out back to there. And on the other side, there were some bushes and stuff that the neighbors had on the other side of the alley. But I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear a clanging of noise, like something's hitting each other, and then hear a plume down, and I hear this one girl really crying. And so, I'm going to get up. But you know, the more I think about it over the years, it's really strange because I wasn't the only one out that night. But the strange thing that happens, see, this is one thing is God moves. See, God does things and can do supernatural things, and it doesn't make sense to the natural. I was sitting there, and I'll never forget it happened, and when it happened, I got up off the chair, laid my Bible down, and started to go out through, and all of a sudden a calm came over me, and I just walked out. Now, see, naturally people just run and try. I'm going to save you! I'll get the ambulance. I'll do this. And I'll just never forget. I just, as calm came over me. And it's just like, I was walking out there and I just like, I knew what to do. And I'll never forget. I walked out, opened the gate, walked outside in the alley, looked down. This little girl's down there. She's crying. I walked down toward her. Her sister's unconscious laying on the macadam there. And she's laid out unconscious. She had to hit head first down on the macadam. She had a big swelled up spot here in her head. And I just looked at the little girl and I just knew you've got to get her out of here. You see, God's going to move. See, some of the people, what people are doing, I'll tell you this, I've learned this over the years. The hardest time to ever minister to people is when their family's in a hospital. You got to throw them out the window. If you're on the seventh floor, do it. If you want to save them, throw the family out. Families don't realize. They say what they want, but they can't quit looking at what the problem is, and they usually can have a hard time getting into faith. I'll tell you what, if I can't get out of faith, I'll move out. I'm not going to stay in to be a hindrance. people don't recognize. There's a lot of people die because of family. Folks, it's good preaching. Why? Because you get an atmosphere of unbelief going and it gets so strong, the Holy Ghost will leave. The Holy Ghost can't take it. And if he goes, ain't no point in anybody else being there. Forget it. So I just said to her, go get your mom and dad, because I knew they lived down a couple blocks down through. She took off. And I just walked over and I just knew it. I walked over, the girl was laying there. I just got down beside her, put my hand on her head, said some words in tongues. I don't even know what I said. She woke up just like that, looked up at me. I got her up off the ground. I said, are you okay? I said, any pain or anything? She said, no. The spot in her head went down to about the size of a quarter. She was sitting where her mom and dad got back up there. She's just completely out. She said, she don't have a headache. She's just completely fine. And you know what? The Lord, just don't say anything. See, he told me not to say it. Just let it alone. See, that's what you got to know. You know, sometimes there's time to say, and there's sometimes there's not. See, how, why, how? I don't know. It's God. But anyhow, she just completely fine. Well, see, that was a gift of faith. That wasn't Ed's great faith running back there and doing that. The gift of faith dropped on me. And I just, you know, and when she turned around, she got up, she's fine. That left me. And there was Ed standing out there. All that thing. And you know what? My mind, after it lifted off of me, I'm thinking, wow, wasn't that something? Dear, you know, to me, I felt more like a spectator than I did somebody being used. You do. You almost feel like a spectator. When you look back, I think, dear God, that was weird. You know, you're down there doing that. But it falls on you. And see, this is why it's supernatural. Amen. You see, God manifests those experiences. I've had experience after experience of things like that of operating over in the things of the Spirit. And see, it's one of the things is I really went after it. You know, I was part of a minister's fellowship that, I mean, these were Rhema people. You know, I'm a Rhema graduate. These are Rhema people. You know, they're supposed to be really after God and everything. And God told me, he said, you can't stay with them or you'll not end up where you want to be. And what I've been doing is praying and seeking God a lot about things in the move of the Spirit. Why? Because they've gotten satisfied with the natural stuff. They've gotten satisfied. I tell you, I ain't satisfied till I see God. Now, I have it read here. I'm just going to... One of the things that Jesus said, you'll see that I have it in the bulletin about the vision that Kenneth Hagin had. One of the things that Jesus had said concerning his people, that his people, he said many of his people were not going to be ready to meet him at his coming. And I mean, that's always been a very troubling thing to me, but as the years go on, as I look back there, that vision took place in September 1950. I was born in January 1950. And so, you know, that vision is about as old as I am. But you know, I've often think about it. God spoke then concerning those things. Another thing he said that many of his people, they were going to turn away from the move of the Spirit. They're going to turn away from it. And he said then many are going to be deceived. Really, by false miracles. It's one of the things you're going to do. Well, see, I've got to live through this. I've watched major ministry. See, as I've talked about Lakeland, down in Lakeland, Florida, these people started coming in down there and they started coming in and false, this one guy, his name was Jones. He's a false prophet. Man, and they let that guy start doing things and I mean stuff. False miracles and stuff started happening and people flew after him. Ministers flew after it. False miracles. See, they started all this gold flake and jewels and things showing up. They started doing that stuff. Understand this about manifestations of the Spirit. God manifests himself is to bless humanity, not to show off. God ain't a show off. God ministers to people. That's what he does. It's not to glorify. You know, he didn't glorify Ed. He don't glorify me. Jesus gets glorified. We have too much stuff that, you know, this is one of the things that I'm going to tell you. So let's test people don't have manifestations of the Spirit because of their reason for wanting them. It's for the make themselves look good. It's about making Jesus look good. It's to glorify Jesus. People want him for wrong reasons. You know, God might move you to the forefront of things by using you, but you always stay in the back. You don't decide, you know, let God do his thing and maybe people will get all woohoo, yeah. You stay in the back. You always keep yourself. It's God and not you. If you got you, if you got used and people got blessed, it was God.
Hallelujah.
He can speak through donkeys, and I mean that means there is a chance he could possibly use you. You know what though? You have to look at it that way. You can't look at the fact like, see, many people think, well, I gotta have this. I've had ministers say to me, moralities, man, boy, if this would happen, boy, this would really do my ministry and would do this. And I think, oh, I hope God doesn't use them. Oh, I hope God doesn't use them because they'll get such a head. They'll get such a head. Hey, I don't need to have a bigger ego. And you don't either. See, we have today, you know, really, we have a society that's built people with egos, you know. I'm really a somebody, I'm something, you know, and I'm wonderful, and give me a trophy and all this kind of stuff. And it is nothing but selfish self-centeredness and things. And there's people don't have humility. They don't see the need even for other people. They think it's all about me. You know, life's about me getting what I want and what I desire and stuff. They can't look at other people's needs and see if somebody else is hurting. They don't even, you know. And don't faze them. And see, we got to come to the place where we see in other people and things that are happening, things that are going on, they become to us that we want God to move on somebody else's behalf, where it becomes our own thing. See, I found out it from a ministry standpoint, the more I've had a desire to see God move to bless somebody, the more God's blessed me. But see, when it becomes bless me, I guarantee you, you'll start seeing things stop. It isn't about just, it is nothing. I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What would I be chasing around trying to get blessed for? God's already, I'm supposed to believe he did. I'm supposed to live like he did bless me. And you know what? He will. I don't have to try to get him to bless me. He's already settled that one. Glory to God, I'm blessed. See, get that in your mind. I am blessed. I'm not searching after blessings. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed. Glory to God, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you some more as I wake up. I want to pull the cover over my head because it seems like there's 97 things going wrong. But you know what? I'm blessed.
Hallelujah.
See, this is the days of faith. The days of faith is, you know, you don't need faith when everything seems wonderful. And it's no sign you have any faith because things are going wrong. You'll find out how your faith is when everything goes wrong. You'll find out in a hurry when the bottom falls out. Yeah, then we hear the groan and wail. When yesterday I was full of faith. I was full of faith and power. And then something went wrong. No, those are the days of faith, the full in power. They're going to find out. These are the days you got to believe. My God, the truck done ran over me. I need to believe God. Hallelujah. God is as good today after the truck ran over me as he was yesterday before the truck ran over me. He's as miraculous and he can set things in order that nobody would ever know the truck ran over me. The only thing that will be a testimony, they have it on a video, but I'm full of power and strength. Hallelujah. I'm still alive. See, that's what you want after it. God wants to be miraculous. He wants to do something. He wants to do a miracle. Hallelujah. See, he wants to demonstrate himself. We got to give him opportunity to demonstrate himself. We got to find, what do we need to do? What goes on that we need to do? See, when we think of miracles, let me just, with this talking about miracles, here's the things, you know, we know very little about sustainable miracles, where a miracle takes place and just keeps continuing. Do you know the Bible has miracles that never stopped, that they didn't stop over a period of time. In fact, for a long period of time, the children of Israel. In the children of Israel, in the book of Exodus, in the 13th chapter, is verses 21 and 22 talks about the children of Israel coming out of the land, God going before them. It says, verse 14 says, and part, the second part of the verse is that that you, Lord, are seen face to face and your cloud stands above them and you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, I want you to see it. Now, Numbers talks about this. Numbers 14 and verses 13 and 14 talk about the same thing. I want you to think about this. The children of Israel are out there heading for Canaan land. And as a day as they walk, there's a pillar of cloud that goes before them and they follow it to where they're going. It stays there. There's a continuous miracle. Continuous. It don't stop. At nighttime when they stop, it's a pillar of fire. It stays every night, a continuous miracle, continuous miracle. See, this is one of the things is learning to operate by faith. You know what's a shame about those people? They had miracles going on around them all the time, and yet they were faithless. They get to the land and God says, I can't even take you people in here. They go in and see a couple big guys in there. God can't take care of you, yet He fed them without them working at it. They have a constant miracle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of God's presence with them. Now you need to think about these things. Don't you ever sit down and think about this stuff? How do people get in that condition? How do they go to that place? I can tell you this today. I can tell you people that I've walked with when I first got born again and that stuff. Today, they're out in left field. They're out there. Yet, they saw miracle after miracle. They sat in services and saw God move. How did they end up so messed up and so far away? How do you do it? It's easy. You quit seeking God. So you become complacent. You know, I saw so many things happen. You can get over the place to just, it seems every day. Don't ever let God become that to you. He so easily does that to people. People walked and God's close and they have a close. They take for granted of the fact is like, you know, this is no big deal. It's just, no, it's got to always be a big deal. God's always got to stay a big deal. They lost that. Because you sit down and look. I say, God, how do people go from that place to they saw all the miracles in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open. They got to the other side. They saw the water. They saw the water purified in the spring. And then they went out from there. All the things. God showed up on the mountain, a cloud. God spoke out of it to them. They have all these things. See, people today think, boy, I wish we'd see the miracles. People don't have any more interest in it today than they had back then. The people say they want it. Have lost this thing. What have we've lost? We got to have this hunger for God. We need something supernatural. We need things changed. Every one of us could sit down here, somebody we know. Man, we want to see their life change. We want something done. There's things that we look at our nation. You want things changed. You want things done. We want those. Well, what's required of it? Is it just, God, I'm going to pray today. I hope you do something. Maybe you know can or maybe you can. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the spirit realm, but I'm being woken up in early morning hours. And there's something inside me going on, and it ain't good. It's like a cry for something bad's going on. We got to bring to a stop. There's something bad going on, and it's got to be brought to a stop. But see, I'm sure Ed ain't the guy on the list that God just happened to pick. I'm sure God's trying to get a hold of you. See, we got to pay attention. There's things, and we need something supernatural. I just know inside, this ain't something man can fix. We got to hook up with God, get something fixed. We got to get these things fixed. We got to hook up with God. It's paying attention to these things. See, I did a few years ago, I just stopped over to things and I told God, I said, God, if you want me in the nighttime, you're allowed to wake me up. I don't care how tired I might think I am or what I have to do. You have permission to wake me up if you need me for something. Too many Christians have all their hours set and God gets whatever's on the side. God should be allowed to keep you up all night if He wants to. I don't care if you have to go to work in the morning. I've been all up and all hours of the night and many nights and that stuff and still had to do the next day just like I had to do any other time. And if you're so frail and God can't take you and can't do it, you need another dip. You know, these people, I need 8 hours sleep. No, you need your head fixed. Your thinking's all messed up. Ain't nobody in that kind of, somebody might be sick and needs it, but ain't anybody got any kind of health. It can't go past a night without sleep and just keep going to the next day. I'm going to tell you what, I'm 72 years old. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, hey, we need to get down. Do we want miracles? Don't we? We're not going to have America turn without stopping. Hey, God. See, we don't know very much. Our generations don't know about sacrifice. We know nothing about it. We know zero about it. We don't know about this sacrifice stuff. You know, God, give me the million, but don't ask me to do something about it. I don't have to. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Excuse me, I'll be in bed. You know, get the neighbor to do that one. I just, whatever it was. I just, But see, there comes down to sacrifice, the things that have to be sacrificed. And in life, why would we think it would be any difference? We look today, look at what people do to have the things that they want. There's people who start businesses. They sacrifice terribly. There's people. I know people who sold their homes and did all kinds of stuff to get the money to start their business and do all this stuff. And then these little moron lame brains come along and get to work at the place and think they ought to have what he has. Who have sacrificed nothing. I mean, what do you think God thinks of that? You see, we have today our ideas and our thinking. And it's entered the churches. Everybody, you know, God bless me. You know, the Bible says God blesses the labor of your hand. He said he don't bless you just sitting around believing God for money. You know, you can give money away. That don't mean you're going to get something back. You got to do the rest of the word too. It's called W-O-R-K. Boy, that's a four-letter word today. That'll get them cussing. You want to get cussed out? Go ahead and use that one. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of saints will cuss you on that one. W-O-R-K. You know, that's one of the things I learned. I went to Bible school and they said, ministry, you spell ministry, W-O-R-K. It's work. If you want a 40-hour week, just be a Democrat. Okay, but because you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it in the ministry. And you ain't going to have it serving God. God will call you at the most unopportune times. Just when you have your plans and just when you have, hey, this it is. Now, I don't feel bad about it because there's blessing that I have found that you can have because you walk in that you can't have if you don't. So there's things good. There's paydays with God. God don't pay every Friday, but when he does, it's good. And this is what you decide. How far do you want to go over in the areas of blessing? What do you want to do? How far? It's just in the natural people. How far do you go? How far do you go? Say the guy starting a business. How far does he want to go? What does he want to do? How far is he willing to sacrifice to do whatever he does to attain a certain goal as people in life, you know? You've heard me say this all the time. These people that go out here, you know, to be a doctor today, I mean, yeah, they're going to probably at least go at least 8 years to any more to school, at least. And everybody gets mad at how much it costs to get the doctors. I told people, I charge you more than they do. Dear Lord, you want to go get something free from somebody and you ain't put nothing into it. The amount of money that those people pay out to go to school is phenomenal. You wouldn't like to have. You know why they charge? Because they've probably got a couple $100,000 worth of debt. So you can go and don't have to believe God 2 seconds and go to them to try to help you. And then fake faith. I don't complain. They should be able to ask for a lot. Because they have put a lot into it. You should not be getting it free. No free lunches, folks. This is what people do. We got to get this stuff out of us if we want to move a God. We want to move a God. We can't think like America. Give up America and take Jesus and you might save America.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, I believe in saving America. But I can't save America being American like they are today. I can't save America. I can't ask God to save America, because I tell you, America needs changed. America deserves destruction. These people out here today, the things that, we sit in Atlanta and they're talking about 1 million people died from COVID. What in the heck is that? We killed 68 million babies. Dear God, that sounds like a good deal. I mean, God was being good to us compared to what we deserved. I mean, how do people get thinking like this? How do you get so stupid? You can't do it without being demon-possessed. But understand this. This, what's going to change is we need God. We need help. They're completely blind. They can't see a thing. We should have had double that in COVID because of what we did to the babies. That's what we deserved. That's what America deserved. To me, my God, I can only see grace. It's like, my God was good to us. He didn't give us what we deserved. See, the call of God to America hasn't ended yet. But I'm going to tell you what, we're running close. And we need to understand that. We're running close on this call. And we need to, the church got to get a voice. The church needs to stand up with a voice and say, hey, hold it. We're not going to let it go down like this. Peter said that the Father, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Before the church leave, God's still calling. See, we need a change in America. We need a change, and we need that call to go out. Hallelujah. There's fruit that needs to come in. People say, well, Jesus coming back soon. Well, even if he don't, America's in a tough shape. America can't keep going like it is. It can't keep doing it. It can't keep heading in its direction. There is not one nation has ever succeeded that's in the condition America's in right now. Not one nation. Without something supernatural happening, America's going under. It will go under. This is not a might or could be if something don't change. And you know what? God has made a way for it to change. He's made a way for the church. Now, there are people within the church world who cried out. I mean, just what we have seen taking place concerning abortion in our nation is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. All the years we went through all the motions of trying to stop it, and all of a sudden, just like that, there's been a change of many of the state leaderships and stuff that have stopped and said, hey, hold it, this abortion thing's gone too far. See, how did that happen? Money didn't make that happen. Throwing money at things didn't. There's people who sought God. There's people who quit trying to naturally stop abortion. Why? It was the devil. The devil don't care how much money you throw at something. He's a murderer. He'll kill you with your wallet. He don't care. I know. I was involved in sorcery before I got saved. And the devil always kills his own. You serve him, he'll kill you. He ain't nothing but a murderer. That's all he is. And when you see what's going on in America, the spirit of murder is running rampant. The fact that people will go out and rage to be able to murder their children. You talk about sick, perverted people. The governor, I mean the mayor of New York City said a woman ought to be able to abort a baby up to 9 months. I mean, these are the people. I mean, you know what, it's really interesting. And he's a black man. In that city, the blacks are the number one with abortion activity. The city, the blacks in the city are diminishing because they're killing them. And here we have a black mayor said, we need to murder more of our people. It's insanity. You don't fix that with reasoning. See, it was like we talked about last week. Jehoshaphat's in a tough situation. There's all those armies against him. But they sought God. And God turned those armies against one another. See, something supernatural took place outside of anything natural to make sense to do. See, when I saw this thing started changing concerning abortion in America, I said, man, I was going all the time, God, thank you so much for intervening. This has been you in this whole thing. We have done going through all of our things and what we thought. But just like that, it changed. All of a sudden, one state after another started picking up on this thing. And here, I mean, look how long the Supreme Court has messed around and messed around, had done nothing with it. All of a sudden, bang. This is God at work. The changing of the hearts of people is not man. God's the changer of hearts. See, we ought to look at this thing. See, people don't see this. They're supernatural in manifestation, and most Christianity don't even notice it, don't even see it. God's moving. And you know what? You need to be able to see it. Because, see, people won't be, they'll be thanking politicians, they'll be thanking Christians. Will be, oh, we got to get this politician now to come and speak at our church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll start. No, let's thank God. God was in saving babies before man was. And we need to thank Him and have an eye to see when He's moving and cooperate with it. Hallelujah. We need to be a thankful people. Let's stand to our feet. I just encourage, be thankful. Hallelujah. Get an eye for miracles. Get a desire. I pray today for your, get within yourself of a longing. A longing for supernatural. A longing for it. Hallelujah. Outside. Things operating outside the ordinary course of nature. The way things go. Hallelujah. See, get things in your own life. From the little things that you go and you deal with. That no matter how small they might be. Is getting in faith with God. Is getting God involved. Where you get to see God move in your life. You need that. Just little things. They don't have to be much. But you see God move. And God do something. Hallelujah. You know, there's... And I'll give you a testimony just concerning myself. But even though... I can even bring up with Mike. Mike was in the hospital. Now, Mike had a blood clot in his leg. And it was so severe that they were talking about they might have to take his foot and part of his leg, you know, and his foot off. They thought this... just happened, Mike did. But let me just tell you about operating over the years of faith. Now, Mike was in the hospital, and I'll just tell you, there's something that, as I've learned over the years, is to watch and see. I went in to see Mike. Now, really, the doctors weren't even sure. They didn't really have a lot of hope in the standpoint that this was going to be able to take care of because of the severity of it. And I went in to see Mike, and when I went to see Mike, after seeing Mike, I knew it was going to be all right. Well, see, it's number one. Unless a gift of the Spirit would go into play, you could do something with the gift. But you know, I'm just going to tell you this: majority of the time, gifts of the Spirit don't go into operation. Why? Because we, as believers that know how to believe, we use our own faith. See, I can accomplish the same thing with my own faith that a gift of the Spirit can accomplish. I can do it myself. You know, I mean, just think about this. You know what I'm talking about? You want to see miracles? The church doesn't need to have the gift of working on miracles. The church, Jesus told the church how to do it. He said, if two agree, it's but touching anything they ask. He said, it'll be done on them and my Father which is in heaven. We can cause an actual miracle to take place if you can get Christians to agree with each other. We don't have to have working of miracles. Well, I went in to see Mike, and I got in there talking to Mike, and I knew Mike was going to be all right. Because Mike, well, number one, Mike's confession wasn't only just, he had a good confession. But he had something better than just a good confession. Now, this is hard for word people to do. He acted like what he was saying was true. See, James said, faith without works or faith without corresponding actions dead. See, many people have the right confession, but the wrong acting. They'll say, I'm believing God, but they act like they're not. And Mike, when I went in, Mike was happy. He said, I want to be fine. I want to be good. I thought, man, this guy's easy to agree with. We get into this thing. And I just knew Mike was going to be all right. And the doctors were absolutely surprised. They were surprised, and he wasn't. See, this is about faith. He was not surprised in the way it turned out. Why? He knew how it was going to turn out. He had already said what he believed. And the doctors came along and checked it and said, wow, that thing. Huh, how about that? It's absolutely all right. You see, that's what you... See, the testimony isn't a matter of something goes wrong. It's what you do when something goes wrong. And so he is dealing with something. But see, it's not, to me, see, this is the Bible says, you know, Jesus could see their faith. Well, you can see their unbelief too. Oh, yeah. See, many times people say they're in faith. But I know it ain't going to work. But when I walked into him, I thought, my God, he's got this thing. He's got it. He's on to the, they're saying one thing, but he's saying another one, and he's acting like it's true. Amen. He's acting like he's going to be all right. Hallelujah, and he was. Wonderful testimony. Well, I had a thing, a procedure. They had, my heart had a thing they called a flutter. Now, it wasn't a super serious thing that they said they wanted. It's number one, I'm not big on getting a lifetime of medication on certain things. You know, it just, because I found this over the years, and I've been around and with medicine because of being in the ministry and ministering to people. What happens lots of times that, you know, a person starts off with a medicine and they get a side effect from that medicine, and the doctor gives them another medication to do that. And after a while, a person has a ton. You know, the average guy my age is taking, the average, now just think this, the average guy, 72 years old in America, is taking 6 medications. That's the average. That means somebody's taking 30 of them. So you come out with an average, and you come out with an average of that. You've got to have people taking, you know, there's got to be people taking huge amounts to pull an average like that. And so I'm not big on that because I've seen it. I've seen people go to the hospital, and I've seen people, they've been in there treating them and that stuff. And their only problem they got with it was all the medications they're taking, and they're having all these side effects, and they're in there trying to treat all these side effects that they got from all this stuff. And look, I'm not against things, but it's just like a cardiologist, I went to see him, and I told him about the things of it. And my cardiologist said to me, he said, well, you're right. He said, there is no medications that don't have some kind of side effect. He said, there ain't none. He said, you're going to have it. He said, either you learn to live with them and not take another medication, or you take another medication and get another side effect. He said, you have your choice. Well, I said, I didn't want to do that. Well, they had a procedure that they can do. What this flutter is your heart has an electrical system it operates off of, and it sort of gets a little bit of a short circuit at a spot. It's like the signal jumps, and it makes your heart flutter. I was good from the standpoint. I have a regular heartbeat. Now, if a person don't have a regular, have a heartbeat and has a flutter, they have serious problems. I had a regular heartbeat. But I decided the thing as I went for, well, I went for over a year and a half, didn't have a treat or anything, and they wanted me to go on medications, and I thought, no, I said, I don't want the problems with the people get from going over the medications, I'm not going there to that, I'm just not going to do it. So, you know, I waited. See, it's number one, I am not big to go jump and do something right away unless I know in my heart you're supposed to do that. See, this is where a lot of people, when they make their mistakes, their doctor becomes their voice. You know, and hey, I'm not speaking. The doctor's telling you what he knows. But you ought to have some knowing of something other than what the doctor says. You ought to have somebody inside. Look at the inside. And I just, you know, is number one, my heart, they were saying about certain things. Well, I knew setting my faith in a direction, that my heart wasn't having any problems with it or anything like that. So I decided they have a procedure that they can do, and they go in through and up your vein, and they have these things, and they call mapping your heart, and they go in there and they zap this little spot where this thing's going on, and it brings it to a stop, and you don't take any medications or anything like that for that kind of stuff. It straightens it out. So I had to decide, was I wanted to do that, or what I was going to do. And so I waited, and I got to the point where I was totally just at peace about, just go ahead and do that. So I did. I decided to go do it. But number one, I hear it's never going to use your faith. This is my personal belief. You don't have to. You believe whatever you want. I don't believe that I should go to the doctor and have the same thing that a person who don't believe God, I should end up better and have better than they do. Or what? I have no testimony that God did anything for me. See, if Mike would have went in and they would have to take his foot off, would he have had a testimony of what God? Well, if I went in and it didn't do any better than what the guy does that don't believe God for 2 seconds, what's a testimony? Was God involved? See, you have no proof God was involved unless something that shows God's involved. Well, I don't know about, I've learned over the years. You want something. So, I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin on the things about when the Lord told him, he said, if you're going to go to the doctor, the Lord told him, Jesus in a vision told him, he said, if you go to the doctor, believe for a quick recovery. Believe you're going to have a quick recovery. You see, many people are going to the doctor. They want divine healing and going to the doctor. That's two different things. That's two different directions. It's not the same. So, but if you're going to go to the doctor, he said, believe me for a quick recovery. Well, so I found out this thing works. But anyhow, so what I did is I went in and I had the procedure. And so, they went in. I mean, they were very good, efficient. These guys, I was really surprised because I went in the operating room and there was only guys. There was no women nurses or anything. It was all guys in there, you know. And they're in there, man, they're doing all this stuff and hooking me up to things and doing stuff. And I'm just laying there praising God. I'm just, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to wake up, just be fine. It's good. I'm just having a good time. I decided I was going to have a good time. You know, you're here doing this. You might as well enjoy yourself, you know. And so I'm just laying there. And then finally the anesthesiologist said, okay, I'm going to give you the knockout stuff now. I said, okay, go ahead and do it. So he gave it to me, and I don't know how long it was, and then I went out. But when I woke up, they took me in the recovery room, and I woke up, and they were unhooking me off of stuff that they had hooked me there, and hooking me up to the stuff in the recovery room, and they're hooking these things, they're hooking up the body for your vital signs and stuff. And I was waking up, and then I heard the one guy say, man, he said, all of his vital signs are stable already. He said, boy, that ain't normal. But see, that's not all. Then, I came out of a little bit more, and the one guy said, you know, your procedure, we went in, what they usually do, so they run this thing in, and they run this little jobby up in your heart, and they run it up in through the valve of your heart, and what they do is they call it mapping. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they got Google Maps or whatever. I don't know what they got. Anyhow, they did this thing, and he said, oh, this usually takes a half an hour, so at the minimum, he said, oh, it goes doing this stuff, and he said, we went in through yours. He said, 5 minutes we had it zapped and out. He said, we were done. He said, and there was more than one of them there. I think they said, we've never seen it in all the ones we do. See, this team that does this, that's all they do, and they're a team that works together. And they said, we've never had that happen before, go in like that and get out. He said, it's never happened. I said, well, don't surprise me not.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. Well, then it came time for your recovery to go through. So the guy comes in and tells me, you can leave at 2:30. He said, nobody gets out of here at 2:30. You're the first. He said, nobody leaves this place this early. But he said, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, don't tell my wife. She'd never believe you. She'll never believe you. She'd say, something's wrong with him. Hallelujah. But see, there's a testimony.
Amen.
See, we should. We should have, God wants to be in the scene on things as a testimony of what He does. He helps us.
Amen.
He manifests Himself. See, God wants that to be the norm in our lives, not something that happens sometime.
That's right.
It becomes the norm. You know, you got to learn, like with Mike, you know, to me it was really nice going in to see Mike, because, I mean, Mike was already heading in the right direction. You know, so sometimes you go in with people and you're trying to get them in the right direction. He was already in the right direction. He was already running in the right direction. So you just go in and just be a cheerleader with him, you know. Just do a few little shouts and a little dance, and thank God it's a working. Hallelujah. But see, that's what you want to do. Well, so he gets a testimony. I mean, the doctors didn't expect. And see, this is what you need. This is what God wants to move. God wants you to have a testimony that you're not having to use some preacher's testimony that you heard. The average preacher, a spirit-filled preacher, has to tell other people's testimonies because he ain't even got none. Oh, yeah. See, we would have testimonies that we can tell people, say, this is what... See, nobody... When you know God did something to you, anybody can say anything they want. It ain't going to ever change my mind. I was there. I was there. Hallelujah. I was there. God did this for me. See, when you give your testimony of what God did, see, you're first person. You could sit on a witness stand in a court because you're not hearsay. You're telling exactly you were there, you experienced. See, and this is what we need. God wants to move because He wants you to have testimonies to give people to the goodness of God, that you'll stop and say, hey, well, we're going to pray and see what God's going to do. No, we're going to pray. God's going to help you.
Amen.
This is what He did for me, He'll do for you.
Hallelujah.
You see, we got to inspire people to faith. Lots of times we have done nothing but wipe people out praying for them because we didn't have no confidence God was going to do a thing. We were going to see and maybe He might do something. You just never know. You never know. For some reason, we're not leading people to place and saying, hey, I want to pray for you. God's going to move in your life. God's going to work for you. God is going to do something for you. Will you allow Him to? You allow God to do something. You allow God to do a miracle in you. You let Him do one. Hallelujah. We'll pray. He'll do a miracle for you. He'll manifest Himself for you. He will do it. See, we got to bring people to faith. You don't bring people to faith saying such things as sometimes God says yes and sometimes He says no. Sometimes you just told a person, can't trust anything. You know, you don't want, he's nothing but a bag of wind. He talks, but he don't do nothing. No, I'm going to tell you, that's not my God. We may have been bags of wind sometime, but He never was. We need to tell people God's going to do what He said He'd do. That God will deliver you. Hallelujah. He said, if you call on Me, sometimes I might answer. Sometimes I might... Oh. Seek and you'll find.
Amen.
Knock, it will be open to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
That's what our God's saying today. That's what our God said. See, but we've been heard so much and so much has been said. It's worked on us. It has. Hallelujah. But He's a miracle God.
Amen.
Get that on your mind. He's a miracle God. Hallelujah. He's your miracle today. Father, I want to thank You. These are Your wonderful, blessed people. These belong to You. You saved them. You delivered them, Lord God. Hallelujah. They're Your precious treasure, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father, what You have done through for them, and because just because they received Jesus Christ, just because they called on the name of Your Son, Lord God, You put Your very nature in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're made of the same spiritual substance that You're made of. Hallelujah. They have the same spiritual life that You have, Father. They have the same righteousness that You have, Father. Oh, hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost of God lives in them, Lord God. The miraculous God, the Holy Spirit is inside of them. Lord God, they're a miracle ready to blow up. They're a miracle of God. Hallelujah. That's what they are. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right now, today, is making alive their mortal bodies. Their mortal bodies have life in it, not death. They have life working mightily in them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the truth. You did it, Father. It's Your work in them. Father, I thank You that that life of the Holy Spirit's going to manifest in them. I thank You, Lord God, testimonies of the working of the life of God. Lord God, in minds, giving revelation, understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let me say this. The Spirit of God just brought this to me. Back about 10 years ago, Kenneth E. Hagin started talking about, in these last days, the spirit of seeing and knowing. And what the spirit of seeing and knowing is he was talking about the gift, the two gifts of the spirit in operation, is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And he talked about that becoming in the prominence, not a prominence in ministers, but in the body. One of the most glorious things that you can have happen in you is really is these gifts. Number one, I can't understand how any minister can stand in the pulpit and not have these two in operation. I don't get it. I just don't know how they do it. I ain't bright enough. I don't have enough years of got a PhD or anything. But I don't see how you do it. But you need to understand this. I believe many times these gifts are trying to operate through us, trying to bring us wisdom and knowledge about things, understanding on things. And I think sometimes we put them off because natural knowledge sometimes is running in a different direction and things come to us. But see, God wants them to operate. The Spirit just spoke to me. See, you need those in operation. You need them in your life. See, we're living in a day and time. Things are a mess. These gifts give us the ability to understand why things are operating as they are now, but also the word of wisdom lets you look towards the future and see what to do about things. See, the Holy Spirit, He's supposed to show us things to come. That's every believer. See, if you aren't getting revelations about things coming, you're not listening to the Holy Ghost in you. Because that's what He does. He does in you. And see, that is through this works in us of what to do, steps to make. Let you see ahead. You make wise decisions. Amen. You get to see. See, God wants you. See, these things are wisdom to show you what to do. There's lots of things is sometimes because of this. I found out many times over the years of ministering to people concerning the areas, whether it was even healing and things like that, that people, because the word of wisdom or word of knowledge came along and I knew what to say or to do, that the person could be healed. See, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes there's things that are hampering a person. You don't know about it. You know, I ain't God. Last time I checked, you know, I don't know everybody and everything. So, but those things, those gifts, I would say is if any two gifts that the Lord would ask me He wanted to operate within the church world that I would want to operate, they'd be the two. Now most people say working in miracles, there's all kinds of things that you can bring to pass because those two will operate. Amen. So all kinds of things. And for them to operate, there's nothing greater to have the wisdom to know what to do about things or having insight to see why problems exist. There's nothing greater than those kind of things to go on. Is being able to minister a person, especially, you don't know, two people could have what they see the same problem, but just because they seem to have the same problem, they don't mean that the same thing is going on with them. One person can have, this is one of, you know, psychology can do so much, but I'm going to tell you what, they put people in cans. You know, you got this problem, you're this, and you got this problem. It's not the way it is. There could be many things. You know, I've ministered to people in the areas of healing where people have two with similar, it seems like, disease. One of them is caused by demonic power, and the other one's just a physical ailment in the body. Now, you can turn around and lay your hands on that person's head till you rub the hair off their head, but if you don't deal with that demon, they don't get well. You can send them to all the doctors in the world. You can send them all the medicine you want in the world. Devils don't take a medicine anyhow, so they don't know about that. But see, if you don't know, see, we need to understand how our great need for the supernatural, our great need to be able to help people, how much we need it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. And Father, I pray for them. Hallelujah. That these wonderful gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge would begin to work in them, seeing and knowing, Lord God, as a people, Lord God, walking supernaturally. Hallelujah, Lord God, so you can use them. Hallelujah. To bless people, to help people. Hallelujah. Lord God, that your wonderful Holy Spirit can work through them to glorify Jesus and to magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we just want to be arrows that point to Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to be arrows because, Lord, thank you for all that you can do through us and everything. But, Lord, we can't save them. Hallelujah. We couldn't even save ourselves. And your kindness and great mercy. And so we thank you today, Father. Father, as we leave this place, I think we're leaving from a higher place. Amen. We're walking out of here, Lord God. Lord, not in our greatness, but Lord God, in your greatness. We're walking out of this place today confident, Father. No matter what we're going through or what's going on, you're working in us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your plans are to fix it. Your plans, Lord God, are to turn it around. Hallelujah. And you're working, Lord God. Lord God, you're not holding back anything. Glory to God. We thank you, Father God. Father, I pray today that there's no one here finds in anything in themselves a shame of where they missed it or whatever. Lord God, you're the great forgiver if we did miss it. But Lord God, many a times we never missed it because we wanted to. We just didn't understand. And I thank you, Lord, as knowledge flows and as information goes, Lord God, our eyes are open and we can see. And we're much well able, Lord God, to receive your goodness and mercy. And I thank you today. I pray, Lord God, today that eyes were open, Lord God. Lord, I pray today, if anything, upon each one here today, there's a hunger for greater, hunger for more, hallelujah, a hunger to walk in a place, Lord God, that our eyes, Lord God, would be open to the glory that heaven desires to pour out into this earth. Lord God, oh, Father God, Father, we long to be anointed by you to minister to people. We know, Lord God, just being smart, just because we know things in the Bible, Lord God, without your anointing, it's just us. Hallelujah. And so I thank you today. I thank you for an anointing. We have an anointing, Lord God, in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But I thank you, Father God, there's anointings for each one here in this place, for the place that they stand in the body, working in them, Lord God. Hallelujah. A place and a measure of anointing, Lord God, that we all need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word tells us we need one another. We need these giftings. You gift all of us, you said, all of us. You, and the Holy Spirit, you divide these gifts severally as you will. And so thank you, Father. Manifest these gifts through them, Lord God. Demonstrate yourself, revealing your glory. Hallelujah. That men will be blessed. Hallelujah. And that Jesus Christ's name will be magnified in the earth. Hallelujah. Father, I want them to have testimony. I want them to be able to stand and declare the good things that you have done for them. That they can say, yes, this is what the Lord did for me. Hallelujah. The Lord used me in this to help, to do a certain thing. The Lord did this. He accomplished that. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and people will want to call on that Lord. They will call on that one. And so we thank you for today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.